It's the day before St. George's Day, as far as Britain is concerned. That would be, of course, Shakespeare's birthday, the 23rd of April. So we're on the 22nd of April, and we're actually in that part of the world that I did think during the pandemic, will I ever, ever get back to Sci-Fi Scarborough? Of course, I needed to have faith because Steve Dickinson's behind it. And of course, we're back in Sci-Fi Scarborough. How are you, Steve?
I'm fine, and it's great to be back, and it's great to have you guys back with us.
Exactly. I mean, you know, obviously last year was the first time you were after the pandemic. This is the first time we've actually been back since the pandemic, and it's all looking good.
Yeah, it's looking great. Everything's in place. People are still coming in. We're about half an hour away from opening the doors, and we've got an extra guest on a train from London on his way, and he's been picked up at 5 to 10.
Can you reveal?
I can, yeah. It is Danny John Jules from Red Dwarf.
Wow. Yeah. The cat from Red Dwarf will be at Sci-Fi Scarborough. Wow. Cathy Manso, your first experience of a sci-fi event, first experience of Scarborough, thoughts?
Oh, it's lovely. It's so cute. I mean, first of all, the mist was terrifying coming in, so I was trying to prepare myself for a horror film. But no, it's a good time. And you're only, you said 30 minutes from opening the door?
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
30 minutes. Yeah, pretty calm. We're all pretty calm as a team. It's up to everyone to turn up on time and get everyone in place. But it's pretty crazy as usual. Saturday morning's the tough bit because we're dealing with hundreds of people on site. But yeah, everything's good.
Well, Cathy, of course, mentioning the horror, we specifically asked for meteorological conditions which paved the way for Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. I managed to avoid saying, Cathy, why? Why, Cathy, why? But you do, of course, have some of the cast, indeed, of Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey with the Sci-Fi Scarborough event. So who can we look forward to hopefully having a chat with?
Oh, you can have a chat with all of them. There's Craig Dowsett. There's Amber and Natasha, and there is Maria, and there's Nikolai. So we have five members from Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey here, and I'm sure they're probably in the Grand Hall by now, and they should be at their tables, as well as all the guests should be. So yeah, I'm going to go and say hi to them very shortly.
Well, certainly Nikolai, who's of course half Ukrainian, half English, and plays Christopher Robin in Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. Reading it through the lens of what's happening in Ukraine and seeing Putin as Winnie the Pooh and President Xi as maybe Piglet might be a way of actually appreciating the movie on another level.
That is one way of looking at it, and you could actually run that past him and see if he agrees. I'm sure he would, yeah. Yeah,
well, either that or I'll try and say, why, Nikolai? Why? Why? Yeah. Why? No, maybe not. Maybe not.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you might be fed up of hearing that by now, but you can try it. I'm sure you'll be fine about it.
Okay. Steve, for the moment, keep on keeping on. We'll catch up with you as the day proceeds. And it's Sci-Fi Scarborough 2023.
It sure is. And let's get those doors open and let's rock and roll.
We've identified the importance of surfing at Scarborough. We've also identified the fact that specially because of the cast of Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, we've got a specific meteorological condition, which is mist, which is crazy. It's the sort of thing, if you're a group of girls going to hang out at a place in the woods, maybe you might actually think, yeah, I'll go with that, and I'll also take a gun with me. What say you, Maria Taylor?
I completely agree. No, yeah, it's lovely here. I absolutely love it. And I think, obviously, with the waves and everything, like, it's just really nice to see. And just because I'm from Manchester myself, so we're not like seaside country, so we not country, town, city. But yeah, no, it's lovely here.
As I was saying to Cathy on route down here, I've watched Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey twice now. First time, because I honestly thought, surely, really, what? Why? Why, Pooh? Why? But actually, it does tend to grow on you in all sorts of ways. How did you get involved with the organisation?
Yeah, so actually, I initially sent a cell tape over to the producer, like on a whim. I didn't even know they were filming it. And then they were like, oh, actually, we think you're perfect for something we're casting right now. So they got me to read some scenes that day, sent those in, and I found out the same day that I got the part. It was a really quick process. And the next week, I was on set.
They recognise the talent, obviously, from that point of view. Your character, of course, is somebody who basically goes through their own journey of routine and, sadly, spoiler alert, doesn't really survive the whole sort of system. But what were your thoughts on the whole thing?
So the whole not surviving thing, there was actually an original storyline where I was the final girl and I survived. But with all of the press and everything, they thought we need to change it and we need to make it not what people are going to expect. So they kind of said, like, what do you think about us killing you? And I was like, honestly, whatever you want to do, let's do it. Because
Maria, you're too accommodating.
Yeah, yourself. I know. Well, on set, every time I was on set, I would see other people getting killed off, and I'd kind of be a little, like, low-key jealous that they were getting that scene. And I was like, oh, that looks so fun. Like, I really want to do one. So
I want to be crushed under the wheel of that car. You know, I want that.
Yeah, literally. But it was just so fun, like, being on set and stuff. So as soon as he said that, I was like, yeah, I'm so down.
Kathy?
I mean, I have so many questions, but I guess I'm going to start with a first and a last, which is the first one being, how did you react finding out there was the storyline with such a well-known, beloved character?
Yeah, well, initially when they told me what it was, I was like, what? Excuse me? And this is a horror film? I was so confused about it. But because it's so different, like, I do not see it the same whatsoever. It's like the cute little Disney character, because he's small and cute, and this is like a...
Yeah, they're not cute. I mean, obviously, I know the sci-fi Scarborough you're actually sitting next to, indeed, the alter ego of Winnie the Pooh, but yeah, thankfully he's not got his mask today, so all's good.
And thankfully he's really, really lovely in person, but when he's chasing you with a knife in the woods at night, it's not the most fun thing.
I can understand that. I mean, there's method acting and there's method acting. You think, yeah. What? Where are we going on this one?
Literally.
Clearly, Winnie the Pooh will return. We can give away from that point of view. I mean, why not? I mean, it's science fiction, speculative fiction. Could you have had a twin sister that could actually emerge in the sequel?
Well, we never know. They've kind of said that to me in the past. They've been like, well, we could do this, we could do that. So we'll see whatever they decide to do. I'm down.
And what are you looking forward to most at your first ever sci-fi Scarborough geeking beside the seaside on, as I say, the day before St. George's Day and William Shakespeare's birthday? Shakespeare, who sadly never wrote the 12th night of Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, but I'm sure he would have been a screen credit if he had.
Yeah, I'm just super excited just to meet everybody, honestly, and just meet people that love the film, or meet people that aren't so loving of the film. I mean, it's just interesting to get different ideas of people, because it definitely is like Marmite, isn't it? You either love it or you hate it, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, as I say, first time round it was what the flip, second time, but anyway, it's and obviously it's made by your presence, Maria, so well done.
Thank you so much, it was so lovely speaking to you and meeting you.
Well, we've spoken to one of the victims, yeah, and indeed co-stars of Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. Now, Kathy, we're speaking to the man himself, the man behind the mask, the bizarre creative hybrid, the scenario that actually hangs out, the man who hangs out, well, the bear who hangs out.
I mean, the bear that climbs.
The bear that climbs with, indeed, Piglet. It, of course, is his alter ego, the fabulous Craig Dowsett. How are you, Craig?
Hello, I'm very good, thanks. How are you?
Excellent. Now, there we have behind you this Ain't No Bedtime Story. I have to ask the question, this is probably one that needs to go to the director as well. Not from your own character, but the chap who basically suddenly seems to have turned up from an episode of Twin Peaks with a "Yarl, I'm doing all this sort of routine," and that. Why, Craig, why?
Well, you know, we thought, let's ruin some childhoods.
Yeah.
No. It's just a new take on the classic original fairy tale. This is for a horror audience, really, adult audience, it's not for kids, and we wanted to do something that's never been done before, something unique, something that you're going to remember, and hopefully we've done that with this film.
Kathy?
So, no, I mean, you, exactly that, you're taking something that's already been done, but it's definitely a darker twist to it, and I guess, how did you prepare for a role like this, knowing what it was, and how are you going to make it into this genre?
Yeah, it was quite a difficult role to prepare for, because the main challenge was, how do you make Winnie the Pooh scary? Because he's a bit funny, a bit goofy. So I sort of went back and studied some classic franchises like Halloween, Friday the 13th.
I sense a kind of Jason meets Leatherface meets Tigger in there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like a blend of all of those. I took inspiration from each one of those iconic characters, at the same time trying to put my own stamp on it, and blend it together and just try and be as menacing as possible.
Well, you certainly succeed in that. I mean, the moment and the sequence where one of the characters is actually in the sauna and is taking lots of selfies and utters those immortal words, "What the flip?" Obviously edited for the audience that we're listening to at present. That worked very well, actually. I mean, how did you feel the finished product?
Yeah, I thought it was really good. Yeah, I was really happy with the finished product. Especially the score as well, the music that Andrew Scott Bell done, it really sort of ramped up the intensity level, and just made it more rampant, really, more wild, more crazy. It's brilliant.
And were you a fan of Texas Chainsaw Massacre? Were you a horror fan yourself, or was it a case of, no, actually, I was expecting to actually have a meeting with Tigger and he doesn't even appear in the movie?
Yeah, no, I'm a horror fan. Yeah, I love the franchises like Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Halloween, etc. We're looking forward to filming the sequel. Hopefully some more characters can appear. We'll see where we go with that. It's going to be exciting.
It made number three in the American market for a time. So, you know, again, it's been successful and I think went down well in Mexico. This is obviously a chance for fans at the Sci-Fi Scarborough events to appreciate the whole thing. What are your thoughts initially? I mean, you're basically in front of the main stage, which, of course, has the layout for the Enterprise D bridge there in terms of traditional lines that Steve has put together. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's really good here. I'm really enjoying it so far. And to be at the front by the main stage as well, yeah, that's really special. Yeah, really enjoy.
Well, again, great to connect with your good self. Craig, how can people follow you on the socials? Do you have a particular social presence, or do they follow you as Winnie the Pooh, the psychotic killer?
Yeah, no, it's just my Instagram, which is at Craig David Dowsett.
Not to be confused with 7 days, Craig David, as we've said many a time, really. There's a hyphenated line there.
Which Craig David has been tagged as Winnie the Pooh once.
Yeah. It's so easily done, so easily done. Craig, a delight today. Have a great day, and see you soon.
Thank you very much. Take care.
We have moved on to one of the vital parts, as Steve Dickinson would say, vital important functionaries of the whole thing. That's the people who look after the talents. The people who are, in this particular instance, young lady who's looking after Nikolai Leon, who's obviously going to be appearing as well. And your name is?
Stephanie Wormald. How are you doing?
Excellent, Stephanie. Delighted to connect with you yourself. Is this your first Sci-Fi Scarborough, or are you a seasoned pro?
This is my first time. You know, it's something that I've heard about, but never really known enough about to come. And I saw an advertisement on Facebook for looking for volunteers, so I was like, do you know what, I'm just going to go for it. And everything looks incredible, absolutely amazing today.
Now, you're wearing a wonderful hoodie which has got the classic Ghostbusters image on. From that point of view, are you a genre fan?
Oh, absolutely. Sci-fi, Ghostbusters, love it all. Can't get enough of it.
Okay. Cathy.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, what's going to be the role for you today? What task are you going to be looking forward to do, and what do you have to do that you think you are prepared to do?
So I'm really just here to look after the guests. So part of that is also looking after the crowd, you know, taking in the money, giving them the autographs to pass out, helping them with the selfies.
Yeah. And indeed, looking for overexcited folk. Now, I've often said that if you wanted to have a documentary of sci-fi events, check out Galaxy Quest. Have you ever seen Galaxy Quest the movie?
I've not even heard of it.
Wow.
Oh no, Alex. That means she's never heard of Resonance Rewind.
That's perfectly okay. That's okay. I mean, clearly, Cathy, we have another new listener to actually come here. I would certainly recommend Galaxy Quest. Tell us a bit about your background. Are you a student? Are you a sort of... Where do you come from?
So I'm currently working as a customer service administrator at Kingspan, but I have a degree in psychology.
What a perfect petri dish of individual psychologies that you're faced with here. Participant, observer in all sorts of ways. And actually, looking after the actor who plays Christopher Robin in Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, I mean, it's a psychologist's dream, surely.
Oh, I was so excited when I found out I'd be looking after him, because I was in Budapest at the time and I screamed with excitement in my hotel room. Just got in, just checked my WhatsApp messages, saw my motor, and I was so excited.
Well, have a great day. Look after Nikolai, I'm sure you will. And I'm sure we'll catch up later on in the day, at least.
Thank you so much. It's lovely to meet you.
One of the great things about science fiction events and conventions, etc., is as well as the great talent that we've actually got, you also get some fantastic stalls and stands, etc. Cathy, would you like to describe where we are at present?
I'm seeing potions, I'm seeing magic, and I'm seeing poison. I'm also seeing skulls and spiders. So we are in Monster Mash Teas. Please tell us more about Monster Mash Teas.
Monster Mash Teas is a gothic-themed, steampunk-themed loose-leaf tea, and tea compliments as well. We have specialties like succubus ashes, which is tastes very much like a cherry bakewell.
Interesting, because succubus obviously the opposite to incubus, and somebody who basically can cause all end of nocturnal emissions. Presumably that wasn't actually in the original descriptor for the actual piece.
No.
Thank God.
Yeah, we just thought because it's sweet without having any sugar in it.
Of course, exactly. Yeah. It heats that tipping point. Got to ask the question, how did you get involved with this particular business? Were you always a tea aficionado?
No, not really. My cousin here, Susie, she owned the tea company originally, and then I took it over.
Well, we've got to have a word with Susie, the owner of the tea company, who, with or without her gas mask, because obviously, I mean, how rude, you know, I thought I'd had a shower and everything this morning, but never mind. Susie, again, are you a tea aficionado?
Yes, I love tea. I'll glitter stop so you can hear me better, that's all right. Right, I started this business from scratch because I love tea and I wanted to give it that sort of like gothic twist because there was that gap in the market. And once you've tried fresh loose leaf tea and you can actually see what's actually inside these packets, you will never go back to the sawdust tea bags from the store and stuff like that.
In fact, as say the Davros voice in the background, that man needs some tea, clearly.
He does, yes. You know.
He needs some tea. Kathy.
What's your favourite tea that you have? And or your favourite name tea as well?
My favourite is the Masala Chai, which is the Cobra's.
I mean, just looking at the list here, we've got dried zombies' brains, we've got wolf's bane, we've got the wonderful eye of newt, a succubus we've already talked about, dried cobra's venom, that seems to be an interesting one.
We've got toe of frog, eye of newt, they're all there, all the different ones, yes.
And is this your first time at Sci-Fi Scarborough, or is it case...
Yes, first time, yeah.
So as indeed official first timers at Sci-Fi Scarborough, what is your thought on the event so far?
Oh, it's great. We love all this sort of thing, and we wish well for all the rest of the stallholders as well, yeah.
We can't wait to see all the cosplayers and all the other... The Dalek in the background, as you can hear.
Well, have you attended conventions before, or are you also... Right, so which ones have you kind of been to?
It's more like the Whitby Steampunk and things like that, and other steampunk events that we've been to, the small stalls. This is the first big one we've been to.
And the web address to actually access Monster Mash Tea Company is, surprisingly, monstermashteas.com.
.co.uk.
Ah, there we are, you see. I obviously worked for that, so it's .co.uk, exactly.
Yeah, too many Americans.
So, Kathy, given that obviously it was the Boston Tea Party that obviously impacted on the world and set up this whole sort of thing, do you think that if they'd had Monster Mash tea back in the 1770s, that things would have actually worked out differently?
Look, during the Salem witch trials, I'm really sure this would have been the hot spot for sure. So I think Corner, Boston, Salem, come on. Obvious.
Yeah, I would have convinced them that tea's great. Yeah.
We sound like witches when we're making this. It's like, eye of newt, toe of frog, succubus ashes.
Yeah, through the orders, yeah.
How do you even start to make something like that?
Zoning out because we're looking at Davros passing through the whole system brings us neatly round to the author of The Adventures of Alan Shaw, Volume 1, the author and creator of the Oshibana Complex, and indeed Graveburn. It can only be, Kathy, the fabulous Craig Hallam. How are you, Craig?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Yeah, it's nice to be back.
Back indeed. Now, have we met before? Because it was pre-pandemic when we last did Sci-Fi Scarborough.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely pre-apocalypse. Yeah. Oh, man, that's...
I know, look, I know,
thing,
exactly,
isn't it?
Exactly. In fact, we've been there before, we'll be here again, and so on. Listen, I can see a fabulous weekend deal that you've already got here in terms of the notion of The Adventures of Alan Shaw.
Yes.
Talk to us about this character who appears, obviously, in The Adventures of Alan Shaw, Old Haunts, and Grave Purpose.
Yeah, it's. I'm kind of glad that it's the end of the trilogy now, actually. I get to put him to bed a little bit. He's one of those characters that's kind of been with me a long time. But I think I need to move on before it becomes my entire life. You know, that's the problem. We're starting to merge now, me and Alan, and I can't tell where he begins.
This is true. I mean, I feel like every time I step through the Scarborough Spa complex, basically, one merges into all sorts of things. Kathy, thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, since you mentioned this is the end of the trilogy, what are you looking forward to now? Any new projects on your way?
My problem is picking which one to do next. It's always been a problem. But yeah, I started off with kind of like gothic fiction, and I've always kind of come from that kind of background. So I'm looping back after steampunk and going back towards that. So I've got a series of gothic Yorkshire stories based in contemporary Yorkshire, kind of covering like post-industrialism and things like that. And, you know, actually trying to write proper, like a proper writer, not just writing about explosions all the time.
Siren Radio and Southside Broadcasting, we have an Author of the Week feature, which often features American authors, Australian authors, a whole range of other bits and pieces. Craig, tell us about your background. Whereabouts are you from? How far have you come for Sci-Fi Scarborough? And why did you decide to say, I have these stories, they're demons plaguing me, I need to release them to the world?
That's literally what it was, actually. So I'm from Doncaster, so it's not too far, really.
Scary place.
Oh, man. All of the horror stories, all true, every single one of them. But yeah, it was reading Terry Pratchett as a kid, really. I just become absolutely obsessed with world building. And from there, I proper got into fantasy, went on to like Tolkien and things like that. Ended up at Mervyn Peak. And from
Gormenghast.
With Gormenghast. Nobody's ever read Gormenghast.
Oh, well, there we are. You're now meeting somebody who has. So there we are. You see, connections.
So few people. I usually say the word and people just look at me blankly.
Yeah, I know the feeling. But so that, I felt drawn to you, Craig. I felt drawn to you.
We knew we were on one wave. But that just blew my mind. That the fact that it could be so dark, so gothic, have these such vibrant, horrific characters, and be so compelling to read. And that just obsessed me from then on, and I knew I had to write. And Greaveburn is kind of, it's been likened to Gormaghast a couple of times, which is about as good a compliment as I could ever get, to be fair. But yeah, it just kind of, it started with that dark stuff, and I've never really gotten out of it. Every time I try to write something funny or lighthearted, it does not work.
You try to get the turtle on the back of the wizarding routine of Guild of Assassins, but they're all that.
Yep, tried it. Tried to get a nice, that kind of terrible wizard character who always runs away from stuff. Can't do it. Everybody just ends up being a horrible person. But Greaveburn is just seven major characters. Every one of them is a villain, and they all hate each other. And that's kind of just been par for the course. People say, "Oh, who's the hero in that one?" Then I'm like, "Well, no one really. They're all horrible, but differently horrible."
So just like the Tory Party, then, basically.
Well, yeah, pretty much. I think it's just my
Dominic Raab appears.
Yeah, just my politics leaking out. Yeah, I think.
Yeah, I can go with that.
Oh, I mean, I have 100 questions, but I don't know why I feel compelled to ask you this.
Go for it.
And it'll come up with a follow-up question, do you believe in ghosts?
Oh, absolutely, yeah, yeah.
And how would you convince people that ghosts are real?
I can tell them a lot of stories. I was a nurse, and then an undertaker, and now a librarian. So I've seen some stuff, man.
What's your friendly or scary?
I've never seen anything that I've actually felt that I need to run away from. I've just seen some real weird stuff. Mostly in hospitals, to be fair. Early hours of the morning, figures moving into rooms that there's nobody in. I've had kind of hand slaps on a wall where nobody's in the room on the other side.
Clapping for the NHS.
Don't get me started with that. I cannot, this is probably terrible. Cut this out. But as a nurse, I cannot think of anything more
patronising.
And patronising.
Yeah, yeah.
Than,
I felt well so at the
done.
Time.
Well yes. done. Yes. Well done, everyone.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's all right. We're dying. It's all right. Carry on. You just carry on and keep clapping. Yeah. Bag some pots and pans together. Don't bother actually voting for a party that can keep the NHS going. You carry on. Cut that out.
But, Jeremy Hunt, are you listening? Oh, you're a chancellor. Never mind. Don't worry. Yes.
No, absolutely not. No, his people listen and then tell him. But yeah, I love all weird stuff, to be perfectly honest with you. I've spotted these paranormal investigators over at the other table over there, and I'm definitely going to talk to those
guys. We will be checking them through.
We got to check it out. We got to.
Yeah, I've seen some real weird stuff. At some point later, we'll get drunk. I'll tell you all the stories.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Yeah. Craig, it's been awesome connecting with you good self. People who can't get to Sci-Fi Scarborough but still want to access the magic that is Craig Hallam, do you have a website?
They're all on Amazon. It's the easiest place to get them. But if you go to the Inspired Quill website, because that's my publisher, you can get them all there as well. And then we cut out Amazon and stop.
Although, obviously, Jeff Bezos is trying his best to actually watch
it. Down. I mean, he was ridiculous in Miami. He's ridiculous now.
Exactly. Yeah. The man just needs to stop now, doesn't he?
Well, at least his rocket hasn't blown up yet. I mean, obviously, Elon Musk.
He's doing quite well in that, actually, isn't he? Yeah. Not going to lie. As much as I love things going into space, and I think everybody should be going into space because it's a great thing, I did find it quite funny when Musk's rocket blew up.
And you write about explosions, so this is really well writing material.
Put my hands a little bit. Way.
The great thing about Sci-Fi Scarborough is not only is it a fantastic place for creatives, but you've also got everything from fantasy through horror, through science fiction, and indeed the awesome science fiction writer extraordinaire, J.S. Collier. How are you, J.S.?
I'm very well, thank you so much.
Now, you were saying this is not your first Sci-Fi Scarborough, so we've clocked up about five or six, really. Most of them were pre-pandemic, obviously, but what are your thoughts?
Oh, I love it. It's my favourite one. I've been to a fair few over the years selling my books, but this has always been my favourite. Not to diss any of the cons, they're all great, but the vibe here is just so nice. Everybody's so friendly, and everybody's eager to discover new things, and it's just a great day out for everybody.
I've got to agree. I mean, I've said to Steve in the past that we've worked with Sci-Fi Weekender. There was once an event that took place at Doncaster Racecourse. We've looked at the more bigger cons that are held in the XL Centre and various other bits and pieces. But there is something wonderful about the balance we've got in Sci-Fi Scarborough. It's budget friendly. It's a chance for creatives to engage with the whole thing. And it's really what conventions perhaps used to be.
Yes, I agree. I mean, the big ones are awesome, and the lineups are always incredible. But there's just, as you say, a really lovely balance here. It's cosy and it's friendly. There's still some really exciting stuff going on. There's some great quizzes, there's great guests, and the dress up amazing, but you're not queuing for everything, it's not going to break the bank, and it's just brilliant.
You mean JS, you're not actually charging £1,000 for a selfie?
Well, only not for you.
Okay, that's Kathy.
Oh, I have about 100 questions, but I really want to know about your series here. I see Zero, I see Haven, I see Silence. What? How would you sum it up to someone who has never read your books before?
So I've been told they are Firefly meets James Bond. So it's space pirates flying around the galaxy, shooting things and making things go bang. But there's also politics. It's a very character-driven story. There's bromance. There's heartbreak. It's a very emotion-driven story that just happens to have lots of cool shit in it. Ooh.
Oh, we can always edit one
or two.
We're fine.
Don't worry. We apologize to the listeners. We will fix this. Who is your favorite character out of the series? Or is there one you relate with the most?
My favorite character is Ezekiel Webb, who's there's two protagonists in the story. It's told from two points of view, and he's the second one. And he's perhaps the darker character of the two, the more sensitive. But he goes through a whole journey in this trilogy where he changes very much. But I just really like his sense of facing challenges, and he's not afraid to admit when it's difficult, but he still faces it and gets through it.
Now, the hybridization of James Bond mixed with the Joss Whedon creation of the much beloved and often much lamented Firefly. Are you sensing Nathan Fillion meets up with the Roger Moore incarnation of Bond, or Daniel Craig incarnation of Bond, or George Lazenby, or indeed are we talking classic Sean Connery, or maybe even the notion of Timothy Dalton?
That's a really interesting question. Now I'm thinking about it. Definitely Nathan Fillion, but I think it's got to be Daniel Craig. There's a Bond that's definitely in touch with his feelings.
I mean, Nathan Fillion for me in many ways is the quintessential voice of Green Lantern. Surely something, even though Captain Mal Reynolds is a star, his work within Green Lantern is probably unsurpassed.
I think so. I've not actually watched the Green Lantern.
Wow.
No.
In Brightest Day and Blackest Night.
You found a gap in my watching.
I think you're okay to miss Green Lantern. You know, we can always come back to it later.
Would you recommend?
In Brightest Day and Blackest Night, no evil shall escape my sight. Let those who worship evil's might beware my power, Green Lantern's light. Not that we're anyway geeking out on that sort of side of things, but I'm just saying.
That's exactly where you're supposed to be for this, though. This is exactly what you're supposed to do here.
Well, funny enough, actually, you do kind of channel a sort of inner a Star Sapphire element with respect to the hair colour choice today. So just sort of thinking, it's there. How can people follow JS Collier online?
I am on Instagram, I am on a Facebook page, I'm on Twitter. It's a bit of a funny handle, but it's Jek Shinigami, and that's JekShinigami. Anyone who is a fan of the anime in the late 90s will know what it means.
And we are in the convention season. Actually, whenever are we not in the convention season? Will you be checking out any others, anything else that's lined about for when you're on the road, so to speak?
I've got a few, I'm looking into a few for over the summer. I haven't actually booked anything yet. But there's always a good one in York, isn't there? I've missed the Morecambe one this year. I always enjoy the Morecambe one. It's a very small scale one, but again, very friendly. Maybe I just like sci-fi by the sea. I don't know.
That's basically it then. We'll wrap up for a moment.
Sure.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's all good. JS Cherrett Collier, we salute you.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Shouting going on.
Yeah. Always moving.
It's all part and parcel of life when you see the galaxy's smallest, teeny tiny, smallest bounty hunter, Space Axolotl. And the creator of Space Axolotl, and indeed his adventures beyond the Valley of the Sock Monsters, the fabulous intergalactic crime, and more, is the wonderful...
Peter Horton.
Peter, we've got to ask you, Axolotl, is that a connection with respect to Mayan linguistics and ancient South American context, or is it just a case of no, it just seemed a good way of actually using vowels and consonants in a phrase?
No, it's actually taken. It was born of a love for the Mesoamerican culture. So the character Space Axolotl, he is exiled from his home planet of Aztexolotl. And there are lots and lots of sort of references and in-gags to sort of that culture. His weapon of choice is the famous Aztec
of course.
Whittle, which he calls his Smacker Whittle.
Nice.
And he's desperate to get back home, and he's trying to make it as a bounty hunter so he can do that. And unfortunately, he's a complete liability and just...
I identify so much, you know, literally. I mean, you know, whether he's in the R2-D2 outfit or outside the TARDIS. This is one of the reasons, quite frankly, why we brought a soul from the South Americas with background in Chile to actually talk about this. From Miami, of course, Kathy.
I have no actual logistical background, but yes, I am half Chilean. No, I wanted to ask you, where did your inspiration for this character come from, and how did you make them so cute?
Well, I originally drew it just as a doodle. Now, I've got some friends who were playing a D&D game at the time. They saw the doodle and said, can we use him in our campaign? And before I knew it, they created a whole backstory for this character and whatnot. So from that, it's just sort of snowballed. During lockdown the other year, I sat down with my little girl and said, let's make a comic together. So dad and daughter made a comic.
Ah, those lockdown times, eh?
So happy days. And it's just sort of snowballed from there. And it's turned into a comic series. And now I'm sending comics off to New Zealand, South America, Spain, all over the place. It's quite surprising how well people have received it.
No, absolutely. And it's great for, I mean, it's great that you mention all those countries, because it's also just an additional tool to help people learn English. As an English teacher before, I use comic books just to help that start introduction. But you mentioned that you kind of created this with your daughter. Is she also provided some of the ideas for some of the stories as well?
She absolutely has, especially the first one, so much so that her name is actually on the front of the first comic, Race into Space, which is why it's packed full of things like a planet-nomming grumptopus that they have to fight and things like that. So there's lots and lots of little jokes and slapstick and cute things in that I could give to my daughter and her friends, and they would enjoy reading it. But to keep me sane during the writing process, there's lots of sort of geeky pop culture references, mainly from the 80s, just to keep me sane, and so that their parents will enjoy reading it too.
How far have you come to be here at Sci-Fi Scarborough today?
Oh, I have come all the way from, where is it? Morecambe! And his alter ego there is Captain Morecambe. I don't know why I'm waving this picture at you.
So quite literally, west coast to east coast.
Absolutely, from one seaside town to another.
Exactly. Genius. Well, the other slight absence I can see, and I think both Spike and indeed Jesse, our mascots, will be appearing in part of our visual aspect of this, is I don't see a space axolotl cuddly toy or indeed manifestation there. We see badges, etc. Is that because he's shy?
Do you know what? I get asked that at every con I do. Where's the plushie? Where's the cuddly toy?
Yes.
And he's at the moment, we're just starting out. I've only been going to cons for 1 year. He's got a very small but very loyal and vocal following on social media. But at the moment, it's too small scale. If we get a few more fans, then it'll certainly become worth doing.
Well, as I say, hopefully the endorsement of Spike and Jesse will in a few moments actually begin to work that through. Meanwhile, people who wish to actually engage with the galaxy's smallest bounty hunter, yeah, we're not talking Deadpool here in any way, shape or form, where should they go?
They should go to, they can find him on Facebook
at space.axolotl.
Absolutely, and Twitter at space_axolotl.
And it's good to know that under Twitter he hasn't been impacted by Elon Musk's takeover of the company, so obviously he's still working on that system.
He is still working, yeah. He's not done anything to violate any terms or conditions or rules. Keeps his head down. He's
not responsible for blowing up the rocket then that Elon Musk had recently. It was actually space.axolotl's fault. Have we revealed something here?
No comment.
Yeah.
It's not a safe place. It's not a safe place. It's fine. Axolotl is so cute.
They're the ones you have to watch out for, Kathy. One of the great things about Sci-Fi Scarborough, Kathy, and you could appreciate this, is how not only could you see so many great creatives, great artists in all sorts of fields, sometimes you might encounter them after a gap of some decades. And indeed, although we're regularly in contact with Graham Harper, who of course directed our next speaker in the classic Caves of Androzani and more, yes, of course, it's the fabulous Nicola Bryant. How are you, Nicola?
I'm very well. And we saw each other at the Great Gatsby.
That's correct.
Was that the 90s?
It was indeed the 90s. Back in the day of, I think, the Darlington Civic Theatre.
In Darlington, right, yes, because I know it started in Lincoln, and that's all I remember now.
And curiously enough, Siren Radio is actually based at the University of Lincoln, which is where I've been for the last three decades. Strange, isn't it, really?
It is a small world, indeed, absolutely.
Share with us, here you are at Sci-Fi Scarborough. Have you actually been to Sci-Fi Scarborough before? Is this a first time?
This is third time lucky. So the first time I was due to come, I got a job, so I couldn't come up. And the second time I was due to come, we all got COVID, as in the world closed down. So that one was cancelled. So this has been the first one I've been available since then.
Well, it's a genuine delight to connect with a good self. Kathy, questions please.
Oh, 100. But I'm curious, because you've done this for, you have a little bit of practice of engaging with different fans, and I kind of wanted to know what has been, what is your most interesting interaction with a fan?
Oh,
That could be libelous, of course, but, you know, we'll just ease away from it.
Yes. Oh, no, don't worry. I hadn't gone there, but now I have. naivete and imagination, such a yeah. I suppose it's actually when someone, and this was very, very early on, I realised that Doctor Who is incredibly special and has a sort of magic quality to it. And I don't just mean that sitting and watching. It was very early on I started doing American conventions. And people would queue up to say, it was like being a healer, that Doctor Who saved my life. The number of particularly children, but sometimes adults as well, who said, you know, I went through a car crash and then I took 3 years before I could walk, and Doctor Who was the thing that kept me going. And I've had so many of those through the decades that it does, it's really touching. And at first I thought, oh, not really, no, we're just a TV show. But then you realise too many stories. I've heard too many to not realise now that it has a magical quality.
It is quite literally Galaxy Quest as documentary. It's the documentary.
Yes, absolutely.
Obviously the campaign needs to start. We spoke to Sophie Aldred, and then within literally 7 months of that, she's actually signed up for the new incarnation of Doctor Who. So when is Purple Gillian Brown coming back to the new Russell T Davis era Doctor?
Oh, I don't know, and I couldn't possibly say.
Of course, of course. But it should happen if it's not happening. And let's talk a little bit about your choice of charity that you're actually working through here. What would you like to just promote it, please?
Yes, I'm this event I've brought, I'm supporting Chimney Farm. Chimney Farm mostly take dogs, but they would take any other animal that they come across in a distress situation and either try and home them. Like there was a donkey they rescued on the streets, and they homed that one. They homed him in a sanctuary just one country away. They found him in Greece and they found him another sanctuary. And mostly they bring dogs over that are in really terrible states, because even if there is a dog pound in Crete, where there is, the dogs are put all together into like a concrete room. There are no, they've got fleas, they've got ticks, they've got fear, they've got mange, they've barely got food. And they bring them over and they foster them and they train them a little bit, they give them a chance to start, and then they're adopted. And they always, if there's any problem with the dog, take the dog back, take care of it, and
well, because it's your good self, Nicola, because we haven't seen each other for three decades, I'm going to actually, in full witnessship of Kathy, I'm going to make a donation, just a straight donation to this charity, because it's so worthy. And I'll do that, you know, literally, on sort of microphone. Yeah. Nicola, how can people actually locate you online, on the web, and all the rest of bits and pieces?
Yes, I have a website, which is nicolabryant.net, nicolabryant.com. Either of those will take you to it. And there are links to all of the charities that I support, because I'm also an ambassador for Dogs on the Street, which is the dogs of the homeless. And so the homeless who can't go into hostels because they have a dog. So we feed them and their dog.
Nicola, it's been awesome. I feel as though you've taken on the mantle that Alexandra Bastidio had, although she did for all sorts of animals. We salute you as ever. Let's hope it's not another 3 decades before we speak again.
That would be absolutely lovely. Exactly.
We have spoken to Nicola Bryant, of course, one of the key companions of the Doctor. We have the Sixth Doctor. He is the Sixth Doctor. He's a writer, an artist, he was in The Brothers back in the day. It's the awesome Colin Baker. How are you, Colin?
Hello, I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Very good indeed. It's a delight to connect up with you again. I think it's about 20 years since we last spoke at another event, and in fact a full radio show that we were doing.
You don't look 19 years older.
Is this, like Nicola, your first sci-fi Scarborough?
Apparently not. I thought it was, and someone said, of course you were here 6 years ago, weren't you? And I went, oh, was I? So I've been here before. I thought there was something familiar about it, and I know I haven't acted on that stage behind me. It's a beautiful building. And I came to Scarborough a lot when I was a kid because I was brought up in Lancashire. And my parents used to come and spend a few days in Scarborough all at summer, you know.
That, Cathy, is an authentic accent of Yorkshire done by the awesome actor Colin Baker.
I've been looking for this accent. I'm really glad that I finally met someone.
That was not a Yorkshire accent, yours.
No, my accent is not.
It's from somewhere on the west coast of America.
East coast, actually. I'm from Miami, Florida.
Well, I'm upside down, so...
That's okay.
I thought you were
literally.
I mean, I lived in California for a little bit, so maybe I picked up a little bit.
I was in Florida a month ago.
Oh, really?
Pensacola.
What were you doing in Pensacola?
One of these. Yeah, convention.
It's all over. Okay, people saving lives on that basis. Kathy, questions for Colin?
Oh, 100, but I'll keep it to one. So now that you... Doctor Who has become something huge,
massive,
global, international. And how has it been seeing its transition from when you were a doctor to seeing the doctors that play it now?
Has it changed? I've no idea. It's like a very fast train moving along a very straight, slight incline. It's going up all the time, but not so as you'd notice day to day. So, yes, it's very different from what it was when I did it 40 years ago, heaven help us. But it's still the same program, still the same doctor. But some of the mythology has developed and changed, and some would say being contradicted, but I say just evolved. And it's getting more exciting, regeneration by regeneration. I'm looking forward very much to seeing how Shuti Gatwa comes onto the screen soon.
I think we all are looking very, really excited for it.
And of course, thanks to the magic of Big Finish, the Sixth Doctor still exists, still has adventures in time and space.
He does, of course, and I recently recorded my regeneration, which I'd refused to do back in 1986 for many reasons. Far too
quick. We'll go there. John Nathan Turner's passed, so let's move on to a whole different field.
Oh, I love John. John Nathan Turner was my dear friend. But when I recorded the regeneration, where Sylvester finally was legitimised, because until that point he wasn't the doctor. He was like one of those medieval popes who wasn't a true pope.
Like Pope Benedict as opposed to Pope Francis, perhaps?
Well, I think they're legitimate.
That's true.
I finally allowed Sylvester to call himself a doctor. Otherwise, for the last 40 years... I was still the doctor, because I wasn't there when he wriggled out of my coat.
Well, one colleague who's regularly part of our programmes, in fact, he's not a month goes by without him appearing, is, of course, the wonderful director, Graham Harper. I think Graham should work with you again. Do you want me to basically sort of say, look, you're available. If Graham wants to book you for his next movie, we'll go with that.
I'd always work with Graham. I worked with Graham in 1969 on War and Peace, and he was an assistant floor manager, and again on subsequent classic series on television. So I've known Graham now for 50 years, heaven help us, and he was a very, very happy, busy ASM, and he's a very, very active, happy, busy director. He's on the floor with you. He doesn't sit in a control room. He's in there having ideas, and he not only is a great director, but he's a lovely fella.
I think we'll clip that and use it when he's on Midweek Drive next, Cathy.
Well, he is a lovely fellow. I have to completely agree.
This is true. In fact, Colin, you must join us on the medium of radio. We use Zoom these days, so perhaps you could join us on one of our programmes from that point of view.
You never know.
Exactly. Colin Baker, it's been huge and awesome as ever, connected with a good self. Frobisher the Penguin, ever likely to return?
As far as I'm concerned, yes, I liked Frobisher, the wisecracking penguin, a Whiffadil who was stuck in the... Because Whiffadils can change their appearance at will, but he's got stuck as a penguin.
So important.
I hope he stays like that.
Cathy, you see, we introduced you to surfing in England and Scarborough, and now talking penguins.
Finally.
It's always delightful, and I know Steve Dickinson will endorse this, when we have the talent, the great sort of artists here who actually say, I like Scarborough so much, I'm going to stay on. And we're delighted to actually have those words confirmed by the awesome actor extraordinaire Dermot Crowley. How are you, Dermot?
I'm very well, thank you. It's lovely to be here.
It's great to connect with your good self. I'm going to jump straight over to our Floridian correspondent from Miami, of course. Cathy, any questions for Dermot?
Oh, 100, like for everyone, but I'm going to limit it. So I see, I have 100. Anyway, I'm getting too distracted. What I want to know is, this being one of many, I'm sure, sci-fi conventions that you go to, what is something you look forward to when meeting people in sci-fi conventions?
I think it's fascinating meeting people and finding their individual stories and what brought them here, what age they were when they saw, for example, in my case, Return of the Jedi. Quite often they were relatively small, and the impact of the Star Wars universe is great because it seems to stay with people for their entire lives. And so now I am meeting not only their children, but in some cases their grandchildren, as it's 40 years since we did Jedi.
Well, listen, I mean, 40 years, four Irish decades, yes, since George Lucas produced this. Amazing.
Yes, I know. It's staggering. I had no idea that I would be talking to somebody like you 40 years later.
Extraordinary. We can talk about Luther as well, of course, the whole range of other things. Cathy?
Oh, well, yeah. My first thing was a Luther question for sure, and then I had to hold back for a little bit. But how does it feel to go from such different roles? Obviously, as an actor, it's your profession to be prepared and do so, but compared to the process of doing one that is considered for the Return of the Jedi and then going to a series like Luther?
Well, they are different, you know, clearly different things. But
no Luther. Ewoks in Luther, I presume.
Pardon?
No Ewoks in Luther.
No Ewoks in Luther, no. Although lots of scary things happen.
Yeah.
Luther has been extraordinary for me because I've been doing it for over 10 years now. And as you probably know, we've taken the leap into the big screen this year on Netflix. And it was the number one film in the world for 3 weeks.
That's what happens when you've got Dermot Crowley in the cast. Okay, just saying.
Forget that Idris Elba person.
Yeah, exactly.
Luther's amazing because it's all written by Neil Cross, every single episode and the movie. And so he has developed a style for each of us over the years, which makes it really easy. You know, when I get the Luther script, it's very little acting is required because Neil has done so much work, you know.
Which is always good. And in terms of that, let's do a standard question, which I'm sure you will have actually had many times. Advice for young actors, because I mean you're next door to a group of young actors who've been in Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, almost the title of an Idris Elba Luther episode perhaps, but maybe not. What advice would you get? Is it longevity? Is it tenacity? Is it a case of just stick with it?
Moisturize and learn your lines.
Nice.
That's also my same advice. Moisturize and know what you're doing.
Exactly. But in all seriousness, I would say to any young actor, do not come into this profession unless there is nothing else in the world that would make you happy, because it's not easy. If you do come into it, it's a vocation, and you have to dedicate your life to it, and it is a marathon and not a sprint.
Sage words, Dermot, as ever, and I'm sure that we can look forward to Dermot Crowley's wit and wisdom coming through to bookstores in the near future. I mean, it's something to do whilst you're waiting in between takes.
Possibly, yes.
Okay, fine. The girl who was actually in the jacuzzi and actually said those words, what the flip, when she actually sees Winnie in action. You could say I've seen this not once, twice, Cathy.
I mean, you've seen it twice now.
But we're delighted to actually welcome to the programme now the awesome Natasha Tosini. How are you, Natasha?
I'm okay, thank you. How are you?
Excellent. Now, first time at Sci-Fi Scarborough?
It is. It's not my first convention, but it is my first time here.
So what are your initial thoughts?
It seems quite cool, to be honest. I've seen some people in costumes walking around. Everyone seems quite nice, so I'm excited.
Thankfully, your co-star has put the Winnie the Pooh mask to one side, so that's all good. And presumably you're all friends now. You realise it was just a movie.
Yeah, no, it was scary at the time, but when the mask's off, the mask's off, you know. I love Craig.
When you're in the role, when you're working through that process, and clearly when you read the actual script, was it a case a bit like Maria saying, but they kill me. How can they kill me? I'm so important. I should be back in the sequel. What are your thoughts?
Well, to be honest, when I read my role, I knew my role was going to die. You know, I knew I was going to die. I'm like the...
It's because of the blonde. Is it because of the blonde and the blonde with attitude?
I think it is. It's like the super... my character was like the super relatable, just like takes no prisoners sort of girl, you know? And when I read that role, just typical blonde bimbo, I was like, she's going to die. Of course she is. And I wasn't fussed about it, you know? I didn't really care, but... I enjoyed doing it, I enjoyed filming it, and I had loads of fun, so I'm not bothered.
Kathy, we're gradually working on you. I mean, we've obviously done the feature interview with a whole range of folk here. Are you now getting around to saying, well, if it's got Natasha Tosini in it, I'm going to have to watch this movie?
Well, obviously. I mean, here's the only reservations I had was that it was Winnie the Pooh in horror, and that was a bit of a scary moment when I found out Eeyore dies. And I was like, oh my, I don't know about, but now I realize I'm emotionally prepared to deal with this. And then this leads me to my question for you. Already understanding the role and realizing you knew that you were going to be dying, how do you prepare for a death scene like that?
So,
it's a fairly graphic death scene, to be honest.
It was very graphic. This might not, I don't think other people might not do it this way, but when I know I'm going to have to do a scene that's like, maybe a bit emotional or a bit taxing, I try to not get much sleep in the coming nights, like the nights before. So like I'll get like 4 hours one night, and then the next night I'll get 4 hours, and then I'll be set for it. Because like you could tell me like, oh, my pet pigeon died last week, and I'll start crying, you know, because I'm a bit sleep deprived and I'm a bit sensitive then. So that kind of gets me into the like, oh dear. And then because your brain's a bit like sleep deprived, it becomes more real and stuff. And obviously
this is method acting, Natasha. I'm very impressed. This is important stuff.
Well, obviously I'm not really dying, but when you actually have to do a death scene, it's kind of difficult. It's difficult to effectively die or effectively be in a lot of pain, because you're not in any pain at all and you're not dying, you know.
I've got to say, I think the way you actually dealt with the selfie shots and all the rest of it, very good. It was one of my favourite parts of the movie. Not the death scene, but the actual jacuzzi piece. I thought it was well handled. Almost from a Stanislavski-esque sort of way, really. It was very good.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
We asked the question of Dermot just a few moments ago. Did he have any advice for young actors? I'm going to put the same question to your good self. People who want to say, I want to be the next Natasha Tosini, what advice would you provide?
I would say that it's really hard. But no matter how hard it is, you've just got to keep on going. Like, just keep going, keep going, keep going. Because there's times that I feel like I'm not good enough. There'll be a role where you think, oh my God, I've smashed that audition, and you won't get it. And it's just because they're not looking for you. Like, they could be looking for a woman who's 6 foot tall, and I'm not going to get it regardless of how good I am at acting, because they're not looking for somebody like me, you know? So you might not always get it. Thank you very much. You might not always get the role, but...
Keep on going.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep on going. And also, don't take it personally.
And we're talking, obviously, Maria's background in terms of Manchester. Where's your own location? Are you a northern lass?
So I'm actually from the East Midlands.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So basically, here we are, University of Lincoln. How far away from Lincoln are you?
I'm Nottingham.
Literally just 40 miles away.
Yeah, literally around the corner.
So there we are. You'll have to drop by and speak to our students sometime.
Yeah, of course, absolutely.
Natasha, how can people follow you on the socials and actually keep aware of what you're doing as Natasha Tosini, actress extraordinaire?
So I'm mainly on Instagram. It's just at Natasha Tosini, no gaps, no dots, just my name.
Kenneth Johnson, of course, much beloved co-host of some of our Midweek Drive scenarios, actually wrote and directed Short Circuit 2, which of course features the star here, number 5. He is alive, and we've got somebody who's actually responsible for guarding Johnny 5 today. Of course, that is the wonderful
Ryan Howard.
share with us, Ryan, in terms of this awesome tribute to Short Circuit 1 and Short Circuit 2, thus the often underrated sequel, I feel. Why did you actually feel a passion for this military organized robot who actually became alive because he was struck by lightning?
So I've always liked robots since I was very young. I found Short Circuit before I could remember. I wore out the VHS and I bought a 3D printer and I thought to myself, well, I've got one now, what can I make? So I printed Johnny Five's head, and it started from there. I 3D printed him pretty much completely and then realised he couldn't support his own weight. So I either had to stop, which I didn't want to do, or I had to buy a mill and a lathe and make him out of metal. The pandemic hit, which was obviously very bad for some people, but I spent a lot of time just in my garage quietly machining away, and at the end of it I pretty much got a Johnny Five out of it, which was a great way to sort of spend my time.
I mean, the closeness to the original movie version, I'd say if Ken Johnson was actually here, Kenny basically sort of say this is fine. And there are so many bits of that movie, which, I mean, when he goes into the confessional, when he actually sort of has the priest encounter, when he has it. I mean, this is a movie that in many ways kind of out ETs ET, doesn't it?
Yes, I mean, I can't believe you say you met Kenneth Johnson.
Yes. He is one of our radio co-hosts, basically.
I didn't know that. Fantastic. And I'm very, very kind of you to say as well the likeness. It's always a pleasure when people come, and particularly someone, you know, who's a TV co-host. I can't believe that. That's fantastic.
Well, we'll make sure that he's there, and we get a card. I'll send you the link, etc., and make sure he's aware of this.
Yeah, so. Thank you.
Kathy.
Okay, so I have a bunch of questions, but first of all, how do you maintain this?
How do I maintain it?
Yeah.
Oh, there's plenty of work. He's always needing something doing. And to be fair, he's been pretty well behaved. I mean, all his wrists work on cables, and very occasionally they snap, and some are easier to replace than others. Other than that, he's pretty good. There's very few parts I've had to replace. It's mostly upgrading, so maybe something that's faster or stronger, just to give him that bit more life. He might move a little bit faster, a bit more human-like, shall we say. In terms of that, he's pretty easy to maintain so far. We'll see in the future, but he's pretty good.
Ali Sheedy, of course, I think was in the original Johnny Five movie. Do you have any particular favourite Johnny Five partners?
Partners. I mean, I've met Tim Blaney on front. He's been signed by him. And they always say you should never meet your heroes. And
then you come to Sci-Fi Scarborough and you meet, you know, all sorts of wonderful folks.
That'd be fantastic. But I got to meet him, and he was the most humble person. I was absolutely blown away with him, and it was amazing. He sort of escorted us through, and he was doing the Johnny Five voice while Johnny Five was next to him, and it was so surreal. And so in that aspect, I got to meet, I mean, obviously I'd like to meet Ali Sheedy or Steve Guttenberg. That'd be fantastic. So far it's been...
I'll have a word with Steve, see if he can actually arrange something to come over to Sci-Fi Scarborough 2024.
I would love that, yeah. I'll hold you to that.
we could always sort of work our way through that. How do people follow you on the social media? Presumably that Johnny Five will have an account.
A number of different ways. I mean, we are Johnny Five Replica Nottingham, but in some social media, we are under Johnny Five Replica. So Facebook, we're Johnny Five Replica Nottingham. To be honest, if you search on Google Johnny Five Replica Nottingham, all our links will be on there, I believe, with the first Facebook page, which is where we've got the most presence. So,
well, I know our station manager Ryan Jones at Lincoln for Siren Radio will be delighted that another Ryan has actually realised that artificial intelligence is a lot better and more safer to actually have in terms of your control than human beings.
Well, and I mean, this actually brings me to my next question for you. If you know money wasn't a problem, or if you had all the resources in the world and you could upgrade to AI for what do you think would be a consequence of that?
Oh, I mean, it might bring Johnny Five to life in a more real sense, which obviously would be fantastic. I mean, I'm not sure if we're completely there yet. I mean, it would be great. I feel quite comfortable controlling my eye control and his movements, and I've got lots of e-stops and things like that.
No disassemble.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, you never know. He might decide. I might wake up one day and he's gone. He's decided he's ended up and he's gone. That might be the dark side
of
it.
Don't leave him out in a thunderstorm. It could happen.
You never know. And there's plenty of thunder and rain here in the UK. I would like to try it, but I'd make sure that his tracks are disabled,
Just in case. Well, Ryan, and of course, Johnny Five, huge thanks. Take care, and see you soon.
Thank you.
Montmorency Montgomery Burr is somebody you possibly wouldn't have tied in with the creator of the Daleks, Davros, but it's great to say that a gentleman who we first encountered at Sci-Fi Scarborough back in 2019 is back with us doing all sorts of marvellous things. It's the fabulous Terry Malloy. How are you, Terry?
I am excellent, thank you.
Even got the Davros aspect there. This is why Graham Harper constantly says you are the Davros.
Thank you. I mean, bless him. I love him to bits.
He's a great director. We were sharing sort of tales with both Graham and Nicola earlier, or rather Colin and Nicola, about the whole thing. And he still has that drive.
He certainly does. Yeah. I mean, because he asked me after Doctor Who to do a Bergerac, where I had to play a film director, and basically I was doing a lot of back of the main shots, running around. And it was only 3 days in when he got the rushes back. He said, "You swine, you're doing me."
Yes.
I said, "Well, of course, you're bouncy, you know, Gov. It's too late, you know."
I mean, he's a trained actor. He should know this. This is what actors do.
They do indeed, very much so.
Kathy, any questions for Davros or indeed director extraordinaire?
Well, Davros is such an iconic character, and we've seen it transform through so many different episodes. And I guess, what was your inspiration for your Davros? Like, how did you come to decide what Davros should be?
Well, I took it over. I was the third Davros. And, in fact, I was a fan at the age of 16, because that's when it started. So I knew Hartnell and Troughton and loved them. But then I went to university and did other things. So I missed Pertwee and Tom Baker because I was off getting a life. So the first
classic William Shatner approach, basically. Get a life.
Pretty much so. Get a life. But no, I loved Doctor Who when I could see it. But in those days, we had no videos. There was no on-demand.
No streaming services.
None of that, no. So when it came about, I got the job basically thanks to the BBC technicians who went on strike when they were due to record it with Michael Wisher. So that put everything back a month, by which time the director was working on something else. Michael was in Australia. A new director came in, Matthew Robinson, who I'd just finished working with for 6 months down at TVS. And so he pulled me in and said, "You know all about this, you know about Davros." I said, "No idea."
Deny everything.
You know, so he sat me down in front of Michael Wisher's, said, "That's what we want, but not obviously a copy, your version of." And that's where it started from. And being a voice actor mostly, I've spent my life in audio, I love it. I thought, this is a voice character behind a mask. And so I thought, yeah, I'll do that. Thinking it was a one-off job, but here we are, blah, 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 years later, I'm still doing it on audio. There's conventions, and it's got a new lease of life every couple of years.
I think it's safe to say Alex and I both have a passion for audio as well, and so that leads me to my next question. Why do you find audio to be, I guess, just a preferred medium? What is the draw for you?
For the actor, it doesn't matter what you look like or how old you are. You know,
we prefer the term chronologically gifted or experientially enhanced. We try not to use the O word.
Oh, right.
Sorry.
Okay, fine. Literally, I have played 6'7" strapping minors, and young things. And if vocally you can do it, that you don't need to, because people make it up in their head. And that's the other great thing, is you can do stories in audio you'd never really be able to do justice to on film or television, because the imagination is a much better medium than the reality of a TV or film set.
And just looking at the many distribution channels, as I say, we can go back now and we can watch you in on streaming services, on BritBox, on DVDs, even videotape, etc. Do you have a preference, or is it a case of, well, as long as it's out there, as long as the royalties come in, that's all okay for me?
Thankfully, I was in the era when we did get paid a contract that included royalties. They're never great. I think I did get a check once for about 40 pence.
Really? As much as that?
Yeah, resale to Afghanistan, I think.
Nice.
Yeah. But
Davros, very big in Afghanistan, obviously.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, very, very, very big, yes.
surprised he hasn't gone down in the Ukraine either these days.
I mean, actually, I noticed that you're wearing a pin.
Yes.
Of course, of course.
Well, Kathy has actually been to the Ukraine, actually helping out from that point of view.
Yeah, I documented humanitarian aid going into Ukraine and trying to go back again.
Yes, I mean, things have to change, and I'm a great believer in sorting things out. And I mean, we're up against political forces that are making all our lives miserable in one way or another. If they're not political, then they're corporate. And we've gone past the days when governments actually were able to make up their own minds. They have to, all these other people don't get any political
now. It was a sign when we were travelling up here from Lincoln today. Kathy actually uttered a sigh when she saw the Golden Arches and indeed the Colonel's chicken in terms of, once again, cultural imperialism. I mean, I know as an American you say, well, this is my country.
I mean, I got a lot of conflicting thoughts, a lot of conflicting, but it's a beautiful country.
It's, yes, when I do go to America, I just find it very difficult that you've got a choice of meat or fried meat or very dripping in fat meat to eat, you know. And I think, well, and I was there once, I said, look, can I just have a little tiny green salad, that's all I need. Well, they brought me an Amazon rainforest. I said, well, that's no good for me. I mean, well, they can, you can take it home. I said, going back to England, it'll have wilted by then.
It's just showing their appreciation in the States for the fantastic acting skills you brought to the world.
No, we're rude and inconsiderate, and we should have given you a far smaller salad.
We should. Now, you were mentioning earlier on a bear.
Yes, Montmorency Montgomery Bear, the bear with the ginormous heart. Yeah. Pray tell, this wonderful production, illustrated by Paul Mars, of course. Tell us about
Montmorency Montgomery Bear. He's been my bear since I was a baby. In fact, he was in the family before I was born, because he is one of the original Pooh Bears that Merrythorpe made back in the 30s. And
Before he became a psychotic killer and Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey.
Yes.
Well, let it go, Terry. Let it go.
Swiftly over that, you know. I had a friend saying, "Oh God, I don't hope you didn't have a bad time with the poopy." I said, "Don't worry, I'm surrounded by Daleks who have an inordinate thirst for honey-covered bear fur and bacon sandwiches." So, no, Monty, I loved him to bits as a child, with my constant companion. And when I say bits, he was in bits. I badly mistreated him, and about 20 years ago I found a lady in Norfolk who restores only antique bears. I didn't even know then what he was, and I took him along. I said, is this, you know, and she went, oh, Merrythorpe, 1936, Winnie the Pooh, bring him in. And she restored him. Obviously all his fur is gone, but she restored him as he was, and now he travels everywhere with me. And in fact, a couple of years ago, I had a request from a convention in Germany saying, we'd love to have Monty as our special guest. And if you want to come along as well, that's okay.
I'm a bear, ready for adventure. Monty and me.
Terry, it's been awesome connecting once again with your good self. I know when last we spoke, we said we must do a radio piece with you. Then, of course, the joys of the pandemic struck, etc. But hopefully you'll be with us, at least telephonically, or maybe even via Zoom in the not-too-distant future.
Indeed, I shall look forward to it.
It's over. Well, over for the day at least. Sci-Fi Scarborough 2023, from our perspective at the Midweek Drive on location, and our audio postcard has actually wrapped. We've had so many exciting things with respect to Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, meeting some of the cast, actually accessing the joys of Doctor Who actors extraordinaire, the Sixth Doctor himself, Colin Baker, with, of course, Nicola Bryant. Adds to that, of course, the wonderful Tori Molloy, and meeting a creator who basically developed his own Johnny Five Is Alive, and some great folk as well. But the question remains, if we were actually asking for the most valuable contributor of this last particular piece that we've had on Sci-Fi Scarborough Day 1 2023, Kathy Manso, what have your highlights of the day been?
Oh man, what have they not been? There were Daleks, there were droids, there were signatures, there were paintings, there was coffee and tea that could feed an army. There was everything you could imagine, and then some more. I don't know, it's going to be hard to choose a favorite, because, you know, you go from one of our earlier ones where we found this whole tea situation where it was potions and mixes, which, to be fair, tea is essentially a potion anyway, which I always appreciate. And then getting a chance to talk to the actors, especially of horror films, and learn about their upcoming projects and things like that. It's been a delightful time. So to pick a favorite, I don't know, maybe I can think of a top three situation.
Go for it.
Top three. Okay, I'm not going to go by favorite of people, but favorite of altogether.
Because obviously it would be Steve Dickinson who would win it if we actually went for the favorite person, our first interviewee.
No, of course, obviously. I think it should go without saying. He is the favorite. I think that's it. But if I got to go with the groupings, especially things that took me by surprise, I did not know I was going to like the Winnie the Pooh horror story, Blood and Honey. I wasn't prepared to enjoy the cast as much as I enjoyed them, to speak to them either personally or to go to their lecture. I think that was like a huge selling point of today. I also really appreciate meeting the people who are just so passionate about the things that they build for passion. I just appreciate people coming together and joining as a community. How about you?
Yeah, well, I think special mentions from the joys of Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. Maria Taylor, who I thought was very impressive and created a whole range of things there. It's good to actually connect with Terry Molloy, Nicola Bryant and Colin Baker, as mentioned. Lots of fun things from that perspective. Once again, I think Steve Dickinson and his team for SFS Sci-Fi Scarborough have actually done it. This is the 8th issue, of course, of Sci-Fi Scarborough. I think it's the 10th year. 2 years, of course, were actually online via Zoom. Would you be looking forward to Sci-Fi Scarborough 2024?
Yeah, for sure. Bring on more sci-fi.